Please be seated. So I see that once again there's no sermon for today. So if you will just kind of close your eyes, what transpires next will not be a sermon, but some form of guided imagery or something of along those lines. Clearly here in our readings this day, a very strong caution about our relationship to things and greed, and the whole assumption about what it is that gives a substance or what is the measure of our lives, and the ease with which we fall into this sense that I identify with the things that I own. So we could explore, you know, what kind of categories that might fall into. And being a gearhead, kind of a car nut, I recognize quite quickly that, you know, the vehicle that we drive is something of an expression of identity. At least I've been thinking so for a long time, and now realizing that, much less so, that I'm really happy to drive anything that starts and stops, and all that's good. But beyond that, we could look at, you know, clothing. We could look at, you know, hairstyles. You know, the whole game day kind of thing where, you know, colors and all of that, you know, have an expression or indication of our identity or affiliation and all of that. But just a whole host of other things that get included in this business. Work, profession, family, it all gets thrown in there in a way that we can easily become consumed with these things and then neglect relationships and connectedness. So I'd like to look then at this parable that Jesus shares, and first off note that it has, you know, two sides, kind of like a coin. The first side we run into is that the side of acquiring, and this through this brother who comes asking Jesus to intervene on his behalf between himself and his brother. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So this individual is consumed with acquiring the things, the inheritance. Wants his share. I'm not sure anything of the details, but that's it. Acquiring is his drive, you know, his moment. But the parable that Jesus tells is on the other side of the coin, and it's that of retaining. And not so much about, you know, receiving something, but about holding on to what one has. And in the parable, it's remarkably interesting that everything has gone just right, you know. Creation has done its thing. I think we're invited to really reflect on how bountiful creation is, kind of in its, you know, when things are working right kind of way. There is just this inherent abundance that seems to pour forth from the earth, and how sad it is when we, you know, intervene in ways and mess all of that pattern up. I have to say, we get a tomato plant every year. You know, it's not so much about, you know, well, we like tomatoes, but we buy this thing, and in going through, you know, down the rack, you know, you're reading about all the hybridization and all this kind of thing, and the promise, right, that this plant is going to produce good tomatoes, for naught. we have watered and what have you. And I don't know, I mean, every now and then there's been times where we've been overcome with bugs and such. Haven't seen any of those, but this thing just hasn't done, you know, hasn't done right by us. And so we've concluded that, you know, whatever went on there, less than the kind of way that, you know, a tomato a vine can really put out. So this man, everything went right that way, and there's no hint at any kind of abuse of anybody or anything else, but things have gone well in a way that, you know, you might look at him and say, now there's somebody whom God has really chosen to bless. But note, close to that association comes this next word, that, you know, the blessing of God is so quickly attached with responsibility, that now that he has all of this stuff, you know, the relationship of his heart and his mind to it somehow is like, you know, he just kind of gets blown out of himself by the abundance. And notice then the direction of all of the conversation that follows. He thinks to himself. He says to himself. He plans for himself. He builds for himself. And so God's providence and blessing of this individual's life has kind of like kicked him off the slope, you know, and down he goes to the darkness of his own greed. You and I could only wonder, you know, how much would it take to push me off the slope into thinking to myself, talking to myself, planning for myself, and building for myself, and any vertical dimension of, oh, thank God for this. What an amazing gift by which I may return and acknowledge him, you know, sovereign, creator, you know, first article, Lord, giver, provider, sustainer of all of these things. And what joy might fill that moment of praising and acknowledging God and saying, Lord, as you have been gracious, generous with me, let me, you know, with a fullness of heart and barns like I have to build to store all that, let me acknowledge you, dear God, with this. And with that then, to look around and say, well, was everybody's field blessed like mine? Are all my neighbors building barns too? Or is somebody scratching out the bottom of the barrel? How might I come alongside the way that the Almighty God has, for some reason, come alongside of me and to say, here, I have more than plenty. May I share some of this with you? Those moments of joy, you know, just happiness of soul, relationship-building moments, they go right past this man who thinks to himself, talks to himself, plans for himself, builds for himself, and dies. He cannot secure anything in the kingdom to come with all that he has had. He can't take it with him. He dies, and as Solomon says, what meaninglessness is all of this? But note, you know, he did kind of borrow or use the words that Solomon says, nothing better I find in life than to eat and drink and be happy with your work. kind of thing. Read on just a little bit, you know, with the acknowledgement of God kind of moment. Eat, drink, be happy, be content with your work, for this is a gift of God. And there's the moment of knowing God in our lives, knowing Jesus in our lives, who says something like this: blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And to wonder, why? Why do have we spent so much time and energy on accumulation, when it sure seems that in Scripture the admonition is, with the emptying comes true fullness. With the emptying, the pouring out, comes life. Thus the cross and our Savior, who pours his life all out for joy of the kingdom to come. So we return then to this question of, where is your heart? Well, let me rephrase that. Where is your treasure? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And suddenly, our souls are unveiled. Is the kingdom to come truly my great aspiration, my great affection, my great anticipation, that I might step foot into that kingdom, pass through those gates, having gotten rid of every possible thing, having expended every possible energy and moment just for the love of God in thankfulness and gratitude towards others? Well, that's a challenge for us and a warning. Be careful, extremely careful, about greed and the accumulation of things. Life does not consist with that. Joy and its fullness will not be found there. I heard a story recently of a young man who said, I've been married 19 years to my wife. I have set foot in my in-law's house one time in those 19 years. And here's the reason why. There's no room. Stuff is piled up to the ceiling, and there is no room. Literally, no room save for a bed. And so you and I know, those people, they really ain't living much, are they? No, that house is a prison. That house is a closed system. For freedom, Christ has indeed set us free. Free. Hearts, souls, minds, lives, all purchased by the blood of our Savior. Trusting him, we rejoice in giving thanks to him. Trusting him, we rejoice in spilling a little from our cups that overflow onto the lives of others. God bless you in acknowledging your Lord and Savior. God bless you in your work and the contentment of it. The simplicity of sitting at the table and saying, here I am, eating and drinking with my Lord and my God beside me, content. God bless you in loving your neighbors, in the name of Jesus. Amen.